Well, I want to start off, if you don't know this, I get to greet people who are watching online because of how this gets to play. So if you're watching online, and I'm not condoning you skipping church if that's what you're doing, but I want to say hello to everyone online. But we're starting a brand new series, and so here's what I'm going to do, because this message is a little unique. I'm going to say some things that if you've been in church a long time, you're going to be like, how do I feel about that? And so just here, let me give you a bit of a placeholder as I start the sermon, like where it just, hopefully it'll stick in your mind, stay there for a little bit, I'll return to it. But I want to take you right to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 3:6. If you're new to the Bible, I'm literally taking you to like page 2 and 3 of the Bible. And this is where Adam and Eve, if you've ever heard of Adam and Eve, or if you haven't, this is where God creates, and then he puts Adam and Eve there. And then all of a sudden, Adam and Eve are being tempted by the devil. Genesis 3:6 gives us a little bit of what's going on. She took some and ate it, talking about the fruit from the tree that they weren't supposed to eat from. Big no-no, right? She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Now, I'm setting that there in front of you, not anticipating that you're like, I know exactly what he's going to preach about, and that's so helpful. But I need you to think about that for a little bit while I tell you about an experience I had that some of you this will mess with, okay? So, I love live music. Love it. And for some time, I had heard about a guy that was catching storm across the entire nation, and then I heard that that guy was coming to Rapid City. So I went and bought two tickets, because whether you believe me on this or not, it's not for you to judge, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I felt like, and I'm not joking, that I was supposed to go to the concert. I know this is, you're like, no. So I got two tickets, and the reason I got two tickets, because I can't do that by myself. I got to buy them and then say, hey, Katie, date night, we're going to a concert. So I took my bride to the Jelly Roll concert, okay? And so at the Jelly Roll concert, you got to know what was going on. By the way, some of you don't know this. I'm not talking about donuts, okay? Okay? So, and you can do your own research. Also, for those of you, I am not condoning and saying, I love Jelly Roll. I don't know them. I'm not here to vouch for him. I'm not saying go buy his music. Let me tell you what was going on. His lyrics caught my attention months before the concert. I like to listen to what's actually going on in this world, and I was listening to this song going, you're saying some things I don't think you should say, and you're saying some things that are blowing my mind that you're saying them, and then that it's catching storm. If you don't know, he's become one of the most listen to artist of our time right now. He's everywhere. He's winning tons of awards. Now, his lyrics are incredibly significant because I think I know the secret sauce. I think his lyrics are saying words that a lot of people feel. I think his lyrics say stuff and you're like, that's me. That's me. And in fact, I would tell you as a pastor, I'm sitting there at the concert, sitting because I'm boring. And so I'm sitting and the place is packed. Like I don't know what the actual number was, but I mean it was packed. And lyric after lyric after lyric was talking about things of spiritual nature. And I'm watching people from all walks of life, just singing their hearts out, having this incredible moment. In fact, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you into one of his popular songs and show you some of the lyrics. And I'm not going to sing this. But let me just, I'm a county jail revival. So now you're, okay, revival, gotcha. I'm a bottle and a Bible. Some of you are like, okay, I see. And I'm a Rolling Stone disciple with a cross across my face. I'm a Trailer Park Tornado, jagged edges on my halo. Hope the chariot can swing low and carry me away. We'll keep going. I'm a dive bar Sunday sermon. I've considered doing one, but no, anyways. Holy water with my bourbon, standing on a bridge, I'm burning with a can of gasoline. Am I worth saving if I'm always fading? I think now you're like, he's speaking some of our language. You're like, it feels like I'm caught in between halfway to heaven or halfway to hell, my angels and demons at war with myself, one foot in the fire, and I still can't tell. Am I halfway to heaven or hell? What I would tell you is, based on the conversations I'm having with people, there's a ton of us, even in our own church, who kind of feel like they're in the halfway place. Tons of insecurity in their faith in God. Tons of like, I think I'm doing the right thing, or I don't know if I'm doing the right thing, or then there's a whole other crew of us going, I'm not doing the right thing. Does that mean God hates me? Am I going to hell? Am I going to heaven? And so that's why the lyrics hit me that I think so many of us are right there in the middle of literally thinking, I'm not exactly sure where I'm at. The halfway to heaven, halfway to hell, or even just, I'm in this halfway place. And if you don't know this, the Bible actually talks about halfway life. The Bible brings this up. You can go all the way to the book of Revelation. A letter gets written to a church, and God addresses in this halfway, how God's not a halfway God. God's not cool with you and I living at a halfway approach. You and I would not ever raise our kids going, hey, how about you just go halfway today? None of us would lead people at the places that we work, say, hey, how about you have a halfway day today? But many of us spiritually right now have this feeling of, I'm kind of in, I'm kind of out. I don't know who I am and who I identify with. And so I'm just, you know, I'm at this concert. And I'm like, I think I know why I'm here. I think we need to do a sermon series on this. I don't know if that's weird for you. It's kind of weird for me to say out loud and hear myself say this, that thanks to Jelly Roll and Jesus, we're going to talk about this. Okay, I did not expect this, but okay. So what are we going to do? And I thought, let me just tell you what we're going to do. Let me show you. Very simple. If you've ever felt halfway with God, if you've ever been wondered and you're kind of insecure, you're like, how do I like move beyond just being halfway? These are the four things we're going to go after. This is the whole series. We're going to talk about choices we make, the faith that we need, the growth that we need to be experiencing, and the redemption that we definitely need to experience. Let me give you a super spoiler alert. Guess what's happening on Easter? This one. We're going to talk about redemption. We're going to talk about how you actually can't save yourself. You can't actually get yourself in the good place, that you're going to need help, and we're going to talk about that. But so this week, this moment, we're going to start with talking about choices. Choices are a huge deal. I think we minimize choices nowadays. I think we would say, yeah, choices are important, but then you and I go live the rest of the day, and we begin to justify our choices or just hope that we get enough mercy and grace for our choices. You and I know that choices are a big deal. So that's why now, as you're wondering, why we started with choices. Genesis 3:6. One of the first choices we read about for all of mankind. Adam and Eve, faced with a powerful moment of choice, are they going to choose God's way, or are they going to choose another way? A major choice. If you keep reading your Bible, you're going to learn about a ton of different people. There's a guy in the Bible named Abraham, really early on. Abraham is faced with a choice of God's way or his son. Which for us, we're like, why aren't they the same? In this moment, you'd have to go read about that. And Abraham lays out this incredible story, but it's a major choice. That's a part of the reason we get the story. You keep tracking in the Bible, you're going to learn about a guy named Joseph who faces his brothers who got him sold off into slavery. He has the choice, do I forgive them or do I seek vengeance? Is that not a choice that you and I often have? Will I forgive them? If you keep going through the Bible, character after character after character, going to the what's called the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, we get into the story of Jesus. In fact, the Christmas story, another Joseph, Joseph's earthly dad, has a major choice spelled out right there. Am I going to listen to what the angel has shared with me about what really played out, or am I leaving my fiance? Choice. There's another guy named Saul at first, then gets changed to Paul. Has a moment where God literally interrupts his life, has this major moment, and he has this choice. If you don't know the story, here's the story. He has to choose, will I keep persecuting Christians? will I keep trying to actually stop churches happening, or will I start starting churches? It's crazy. It's choices. And it reveals what you know. Here's what you know about life. Every day is full of choices. And if you're going to navigate, if you're going to ask me a private question off to the side, David, I kind of feel like I'm halfway with God sometimes. I'm halfway going this direction, halfway going that way. How do I begin to bump out of the halfway mode of life? How do I be, our word of the year, a disciple, a follower of Jesus, not just like a one-time moment with Jesus? How do I do that? You've got choices over and over and again. I'm not going to out the people in my family who love to spend money at coffee places, but there's a certain coffee shop known as Starbucks that I was reading, and I thought this was interesting, and that's why I don't like going there, that aside from what's on the menu, there are over 170,000 combinations of drinks, choices. Can we just have coffee? Just some black coffee, right? Choices. I read about a study. This was fascinating. They got 100 American students and 100 Japanese students. They gave them each a blank piece of paper. On one side of the paper, they said, we want you to write all of the choices that you want to make for yourself. On the other side, write all of the choices you don't want to make for yourself. Okay? So they give them. The American students came back with the front of the page of all the choices they wanted to make full. Where they wanted to work, where they wanted to live, all that kind of stuff. The back of their page, the choice they did not want to make for themselves, nearly nothing was, there was usually nothing written on the back of that. And if there was, it was typically they didn't want to choose how they would die. The Japanese students typically filled the back of the page. They wanted to be told where to work, where to live, and have all these decisions. They wanted very few choices of their own. I'm not condoning either one, but you and I have to understand in our culture there is a major thing about choice. David Brooks, who made this whole study really well known, here, Americans now have more choices over more things than any other culture in human history. I don't know how you feel about life right now. If you feel a bit of pressure, if you ever feel overwhelmed at all the things you got to process, welcome to yes. Yes, it's really happening. We can choose between a broader array of foods, media, sources, lifestyles, and identities. Welcome to today's culture. I'm not condoning all of this. I'm just saying this is what's going on, especially in our culture. Especially as Americans, apparently we have an unusual historical amount of choices. So he concludes with one of the most obvious statements that you could ever make. It is becoming incredibly important to learn how to decide well. So now let that statement, though, walk itself into your relationship with God. I would tell you as a pastor, it is incredibly necessary that you become good at deciding well, that you get good at making choices to grow your relationship with the Lord, to develop it. God is all powerful. He is sovereign. He is almighty. He doesn't need you and I to survive. However, in a relationship with him, he's constantly giving choices. And yes, there's grace and mercy. We'll talk about it in this series. But I think we need a launching message that says, choices matter. Pay attention to them. They're huge. And I think we're minimizing them. Let me give you a couple of examples. In the book of John, in the New Testament, the second part of the Bible, now there was a Pharisee. If you don't know what that is, that's a guy who just really knows a lot about the law. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. And so notice, they're acknowledging like, yeah, you got something. You've got some power. No one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. Now, here's an interesting observation. You're saying, okay, cool, so this guy is talking to Jesus, but he's not just talking to Jesus, and this is what you need to catch. He's talking to him at night. Okay, well, maybe he was busy during the day, and that was the earliest appointment Jesus had that day. No, he's talking to him at night so that his crew won't see him. He's talking to Jesus at night because he's not sure what he's willing to do about Jesus. So the best thing he thought, his option was, I don't want to make any like major choice here, so I'm going to find Jesus when no one else can see me, and I'm going to ask him the questions that I really want to ask him. Just nighttime. And he's acknowledging to Jesus, you saw this. He's acknowledging to Jesus, you got some power. And so Jesus says to him, verse 3 of this, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Now, this was really weird to him. And if that's the first time you've heard that, you're like, that's impossible. And that's essentially what he says. He's like, don't think that's going to work. You can't do that. And Jesus has to explain. No. No, very truly, I tell you, no one can spend eternity with God in heaven unless you make the choice to let God have all of your life. Unless you allow the Holy Spirit to have all of you. And you can read other places in Scripture that talks about this complete surrender, this moment. He's saying, yeah, you want to be born again. In other words, how you see yourself, how you live this world, how you engage people, how you engage the Almighty, you're going to have to put that all into the hands of me if that's what you want to do. He says, I'm going to give you a choice. If you don't know the story, Nicodemus has a little difficult time at that moment about this. And he's not sure if he wants to make that choice. Perhaps you've been there. Go to another story, typically titled The Story of the Rich Young Ruler. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Can I just help us all? He's saying, I don't want to be halfway to hell or halfway to heaven. I want to be all the way there. You catching that? Teacher, what must I do to be all the way there? Why do you ask me what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which ones, he inquired. Which ones? Which ones? It's a grown man. I know he's young, but does this not sound like a kid? But then do you know that you and I do this as well? Like, which are the real rules? Like, what are the rules that really matter? Jesus replied, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. If you're familiar with something called the Ten Commandments, you're seeing Jesus do something here. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. He's like, oh, I like your answer, sir. Right? What do I still lack? Woo! What a question to ask Jesus. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, don't worry about that word. In our terms, in our American culture, like no one's perfect. The better word there is complete or mature. If you want to be complete, go. If you don't want to be halfway, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me, man. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, listen, do you know that God does not ask that of all of us? Do you know what Jesus just did? He knew the guy's heart, and he says, I know what you're going to have trouble choosing. You've been choosing to be faithful. You've been choosing to honor the commandments. You've been doing all those things. Now let me go after your heart. And what he was saying to Nicodemus, to the rich young ruler, I think Jesus says to you and I in this very moment, are you going to choose me or just admire me? We've been talking about this all year as a church. Like fan, follower, what are you? I think these are new, fresh words for us. If you don't want to be halfway, are you going to choose me or just, and I mean just, admire me. I want to take you through, I think some teaching from Jesus, and then hopefully make this relatable regarding choice. I want you thinking about, we started the Genesis, remember? Adam and Eve making a choice. We've now learned a couple of other folks who are making choices, and now I want to take you into the reality of what Jesus is saying. Matthew chapter 7 is where it's at. Enter through the narrow gate. Okay, narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. A lot of choices, right? Tons and tons and tons and tons of choices. All the choices you could ever feel and want. All the choices. You just, like culture would say today, right now, just go after whoever you want to be, however you feel, do whatever you want, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. You just kind of do your thing. And that's a pretty wide gate if everyone gets to do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, however they feel like doing it. For wide is the gate and broad is the road. What does that do? That leads to destruction. That's what our culture has yet to accept, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it, because only a few are willing to make the right choice. So in my mind, I was thinking about this. Here's the statement: one choice usually impacts the next choice. So I began thinking, this is not a perfect illustration. Please, so don't go spend 2 or 3 hours going, well, that actually breaks down. Don't. Just here's the deal. I began thinking about dominoes on this. Choices. You and God. Me and God. If you're like me, which I think you might be similar to me, there's something in my head and my heart that I want to have a thriving relationship with God. I want to trust God every single moment of every single waking moment and even sleeping moment. I want to have a close relationship with God. I want to hear God. I want to speak to God. I want God to provide for me. I want God to protect me. I want to walk with God. I want that. Many of us want that. If I said, hey, I know how you can get that close to God, no halfway stuff. You're like, oh, I want that. So we want that. So many of us are like, so I'll choose Jesus. It's awesome. We call it a moment of salvation, a moment where you say, I choose the way of Jesus. The problem is we kind of think it works like that. And so many of us are left with a bit of a disenfranchisement of like, I chose Jesus, but I don't really have the trust that I want. I chose Jesus, but boy, I'm really struggling with what's playing out in my life, and that's not really my version of God. We want God to be so close to us, and we chose him, but there's this, we don't realize that when you choose Jesus, there's another choice awaiting you, probably within moments or the next day. And then I would tell you, as a professional 45-year-old, there's another choice. Sometimes they come in dozens, sometimes they come just one moment, and then there's another choice. And then there's another choice. What we often don't talk enough about in the church is that, yes, you can decide to follow Jesus and that he is awesome and amazing and enough, but what we often don't talk about is outside of grace and mercy, there's also this continual need to choose, and keep choosing. It's how relationships work, choosing each other. Do you remember, not to stir up things, were you ever not chosen? I know some of you are like, oh, that hurts. I know. Even me bringing it up right now, I can take myself right back to a skating party, a roller skating party, middle school. They announce over the speakers, we're going to have a couple skate. And I'm like, yeah. And there was a girl I was kind of crushing on. I look around. I'm like, I'm going to skate with. Oh, she's already with a dude. It's okay. I'll go to plan B. Okay, he's also with a guy. And ended up, I got to watch everyone do the couple skate from over on the bench as everyone was skating together, having a blissful moment. And I hadn't been chosen. if you've ever been on the playground and they picked the team and you didn't make the team or you weren't first. Can we admit right now how significantly powerful choice is? See, someone was like, it's no big deal if I don't choose Jesus today because maybe I'll choose him tomorrow. All the while, you and I are desperate to be chosen. How often? Every single day. If you want some of the best marriage advice I could ever give you, choose your spouse every day the rest of your life. Keep choosing him over and over and over and over. And again, if you want to be a good parent, keep choosing your kids. We have enough kids, an army, and we've been to enough, you know, Christmas programs and sporting events. You know what every kid does almost every single time? At some point during that moment, they try to find us in the crowd, in the stands, somewhere, and they try to lock eyes with us. And do you know what they're doing? They're doing what the movies show us hurts. You watch a movie where the parent's not showing up, and that's the whole plot of the movie, and it's breaking the heart of the kid, and it's a problem. Do you see that you were built? You were built to make choices and be chosen. Plug this into your relationship with Jesus. And here's maybe some of the most spiritual advice I could ever give you for the rest of your life. Don't reduce a relationship to a one-time choice. Many of us have done this, and what it's done to us, it's left us halfway. We're halfway to heaven, and we're like, it's not really working for me. And so here's what we're doing. We're like, we chose Jesus. We went to church the next day, but then something, someone distracted us. And our choices, we began to deviate off of that. And then we're like, why don't I trust God anymore? Why don't I feel close to him anymore? It seems like he's distant, like he's mad at me, so he's not close to me. No, choices lead to connection. And you and I got to be going, this isn't about earning God's love. I'm just here right now with you to bring up, have you been choosing God daily over and over? Or who or what have you been choosing? Just go back. I didn't read all to you in Genesis chapter 3. I want to show you just real quick. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this. I want to show you real quick the choices that you're struggling with. Would you like, I can't read your minds. Don't worry about that. I don't have cameras at all of your houses. Just want to see how long that would take to land. But when the woman saw the fruit and the tree was good and pleasing and all that, and all desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it, and she gave it. And all that. That's how a lot of us read the Bible. I know this story. I know this story. They ate some fruit. They're not supposed to eat the fruit. Let me help you. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, stop. She saw that it was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom. At the very beginning of the Bible, it revealed to you and I, actually, if you don't know this, the choices you and I battle with all the time. In fact, if you want to nerd out on some Bible stuff, I'll show it to you. You can jump all the way to the New Testament, to 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, that details what you just read. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The Bible, from nearly the beginning all the way to the very end, has been telling you and I, your choices matter. And there is a devil, an evil one, going after your choices, and God also wants your choices. Who are you going to choose? You and I know this in our daily life. This is how relationships work. This is how work works. This is how succeeding works. This is how doing what we want to do in life works, is that there's choices. And with God, we must recognize that, yes, he loves the imperfect. Thank the Lord, right? But don't use that as an excuse to not choose. Never say, ever, he or she knows I love him. We had a wedding. We've got a picture on the wall. I chose her once. Doesn't she know? Right. Please don't ever say that. Don't ever tell your kids, hey, you saw the food in front of you. Don't you know? Do you see how selfish and lazy that is? Let me help you a little bit more. I need things boiled down. here you go. Here's what that scripture said. Here's what it says in Genesis. Lust of the flesh, what's that? What your body desires. Lust of the eyes, what your mind desires. Pride of life, what brings attention and value. These three things, I want you to know, are what you and I both were the same. We are battling daily on our choices. What your body craves. And some of us are going, well, my body craves it. It's okay. If you're a follower of Jesus, you take your cravings and you look at what the Word of God says to do with your cravings. And whether you like it or not, you do what the Word of God says because it's the Word of the Almighty God. When you look at your desires and just what you want and want to go after, you say, do I just go after because I want it? Or do you say, God, what say you about this? Because I'm a follower of yours. If you don't want to stop halfway, don't stop at just relying on yourself to come up with what you should be doing and not doing in life. And then that pride of life, what gives you attention and value, whoo, doesn't that get a lot of us in trouble sometimes? Choosing. We start this series off very simply, and I'll give you the wisdom straight from the Bible. Choose Jesus and keep choosing him. If you don't want to be halfway, you don't have to become some theologian right now. You don't have to all of a sudden memorize the whole Bible. You don't have to get perfect. In fact, yesterday may have been atrocious for you. Maybe today's been atrocious for you already. I don't know what it is. But I'm listening. If you want to say, I don't want to stop halfway. I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to know with confidence that I have a thriving relationship with God. Then you choose him, but don't stop there. Keep choosing him over and over and over again, and you will screw up, and you will succeed. But any relationship that I know of, if you are willing to keep choosing and choosing, you will see things in that relationship that will fill your soul, especially with God. So I think it's imperative we have a moment together with the Lord. So would you do this? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? The agenda with that is just to help you and I both focus. I don't know how many of us have ever even chosen Jesus. We're not a presumptuous church. And perhaps some of you have never, you're like, I'm not halfway, David. I don't know that I've ever actually formally chosen him. Or maybe you did choose him a long time ago, but since then life has not looked like that one bit. You stopped choosing him. I'm going to ask you to do something rather bold. If what I just described, maybe you've never chosen him, but you want to. Maybe you chose him a long, long time ago, but it's not really been playing out that way. I want to pray for you, but I can't pray for you without knowing who's who. If I just described you, I'm going to invite you to stand up right now. And I want to pray for you very simply where you're standing. I'm just going to stand here and pray for you. Heavenly Father, you know the inner work that our souls need. Lord, you know the stuff that we have been choosing, the people we've been choosing, the ways we've been choosing, the thoughts that we've been choosing. And Lord, you even know the frankly, I think of the word, you know some of the laziness and the apathy that we've been choosing. Lord, if there's anything in our lives right now at all that we should not be choosing, would you help us know what that is? We need your Spirit to help us understand what we should not be choosing. But also, Lord, would you convict us and do something in our hearts to help us know to choose you? So, Lord, wherever any of us are with our walk with you, we just say right now, as a collective church, we acknowledge you are worth choosing. You are a perfect, all-knowing, all-powerful, loving, kind, generous, comforting Savior of us. And so, Lord, we choose you. Would you lead us the rest of this week? Help us to make the choices that honor you, that honor the people around us, honor the ones that we love, and even the ones that we're angry with. Lord, we submit to your way. We want to follow you. And so we want to continually look to you, rely on you, and depend on you. We pray this in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.